the power of God. We thank God today that He's given us a beautiful day. He's given us beautiful week. We thank Him for His love for everybody that we see out here today. And praise God that as Creator, the Bible does say, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And praise God, there's a designer. Praise God, there's a purpose of life. It's not just about, you know, life, living life without any purpose. It's that there's a purpose that's found in the creation that God has made, that He has made us in His image. We're distinctly different, praise God, from animals. Animals do not have hospitals. Animals do not have judicial systems. They do not have the medicine and technology things that we have because they're animals, but we're humans. And God's given us intellect, God's given us abilities, and praise God, God's given us also things that evolution can't explain. If evolution could explain function, evolution cannot explain the fact that we have individuality, that we have personality, that there are aesthetics, that there are things that are beautiful, things that look good, taste good, feel good. All that is explained with the Creator God. Again, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Praise God, when He designed us for a purpose. That purpose was that we would walk with God. God's desire for us is to have fellowship with Him. Very sadly, God gave us a will, and man exercised that will against God. We decided to sin against God. That broke our fellowship with God. Sin is the transgression of the law. Anytime we say, think, or do something that is contrary to God's law, we sin. And with sin, there's a punishment. The Bible says, first of all, that we have all sinned. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem with that, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, the payment or the penalty for our sin is eternity in the lake of fire. And the Revelation chapter 20 speaks about that when it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No, that's not God's desire to take man, His creation, and to cast him into a perdition and eternity away from Him. God desires to save us. That's why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, amazingly today, people can mock God, laugh at God, curse God, not believe in God, and yet that very God created them, designed them, gave them life, gave them their health, gave them everything, and died on the cross for their sin so that they could be reconciled to God. Again, we live in a world that is all about sin. This past weekend was more about sin than it was about God. It was about the pub. It was about gambling. It was about sports. It was about all that idolatry that man has in their life. They're bowing down and worshiping many things. Their life is about everything but about God. And yet that's the very God that gave us life. You know, many parents took their kids, praise God, to church yesterday. It would be good for a lot of parents to take their kids to church and to begin to teach them about God. It's a parent's responsibility to give religious instruction. All the moms and dads that we have here in Scotland ought to be getting out the Bible, the book of all books, and beginning to open it up with their kids and to speak to them about design, to speak to them about the fact that God made them male, God made them female, God designed them for a purpose, and that God has a plan for their life, and praise God for that. You know what? And somebody can have a great life, they can have a great marriage, they can have a great family, they can have great relationships if they understand the truth about God. Because without God, we're not going to have good marriages, we're not going to have strong families, and we're certainly not going to have a good society. What we see sadly today in Scotland is a generation that's turning their back on God. They don't praise God, they don't thank God, they curse God. If they use God's name, it's only as a curse word. And the Bible says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, we need to encourage our kids and we need to encourage our family to get back to the Bible, to begin to think about God, to prepare themselves, as it were, for eternity. A lot of people prepare for exams. A lot of young people right now have been taking their tests and they prepare for that. A lot of people prepare for a job interview or things like that. But where are the people that are wise enough to begin to pick up a Bible and to begin to read it and begin to think about God and begin to prepare themselves for eternity? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that to judgment. Every single one of us someday is going to die. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to give account for everything that we've ever done in our life, whether that be good or whether that be bad. And very sadly, those that are not found written in the book of life, the Bible says, they're going to be judged for their works, but they're going to be cast into a lake of fire for all eternity. God does not want to do that. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. The Bible says again, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, God does not want people to walk down that path and enter into an eternity, a Christless eternity, a hopeless eternity, an eternity of fire, an eternity of burning. God does not desire that. God would rather have mercy. God would rather have the opportunity to forgive the sins of those that transgressed against him. But for us to have God's forgiveness, we've got to admit that our sin is sin. So many people in this world are trying to justify the work that they do. They're trying to justify their sin. We've got legislators. We've got educators. We've got legal systems that are beginning to justify sin. And men are saying that sin is okay. Listen, God's law has not changed. God's word has not changed. Murder is still murder, whether that's a child in the womb or that's somebody outside of the womb. Marriage is still marriage between a man and a woman, whether the world says, hey, we're going to change that. It doesn't edit the fact that God said he created them male and female. It does not change the fact today that God, when he created and designed the family, was one man, one woman for life, and that it was not to be broken except by death. Fornication is still sin today. There's a lot of people today that are living in sexual sin. They're staying with a partner that they're not married to. They've never entered into a covenant relationship with that person before God. And they're acting as if that is okay in the eyes of Almighty God. Yet it is not. It is still fornication today. It is still a violation of God's law. It's the same with lies today. Most people I meet, they say, Ben, there's no big deal about lying. Everybody lies. And in fact, you're right about that. And yet the Bible says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a warning there for us, friends, and that is this, that without God, we will all spend eternity away from God in a place called hell. Now, God doesn't desire that. God desires to save us. God desires to give us his gift of everlasting life. But our justification is not in changing the law. Our justification is in obeying the law, what God says in his holy word, taking it into our heart, embracing it, obeying it, believing it, receiving it. Now, there might be a time in somebody's life when they stop and they look at their life and they say, maybe what's it all about? Why am I here? What's going on? You know, is there eternity? Is there a God? I would just encourage somebody like that, and maybe it's beginning to think about God, to think of the Bible and to begin to read it. A great place to begin reading in the Bible is the book of John. It says at the end of the book of John, it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. In other words, God gave us that precious book of the Bible to introduce us to the man of all men, the great man, Jesus Christ. It shows us his miracles that he did. It shows us the love that he had, the compassion that he had, that he would look at somebody that had an injury or had an infirmity and he would heal them. He would look at somebody that was demon-possessed, that a wicked spirit, a demon, is a fallen angel, and that person had become enslaved to that demon. That demon was leading them to do all sorts of wickedness and abuse to their life. But Jesus, in his power, would set them free from the demonic influences that were in their life. As a great man, he would stand up, he would preach the word of God, he would say things like, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, do good to them that despise you. He would stand up and he would preach about obeying God and pleasing God and getting right with God. He had a great preacher that went before him, John the Baptist, that challenged people to get their lives ready for eternity by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And praise God, Jesus echoed that message as he took that message to the world. But then Jesus not only did that in the preaching and teaching the good things that he did, but Jesus Christ went to the cross of shame, to die. You might say to me, well, Ben, why did Christ die? I don't get that part of the story. Why did he die? Well, then he died for this reason. We are sinners. We've transgressed God's law. The punishment for our sin is death. Jesus Christ died to pay the punishment for our sin so that God judicially could look at us and say, I can forgive you because my son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin. If you were to see the crucifixion today, you wouldn't laugh at it, you wouldn't mock it, you'd be disgusted by it. Many would vomit, many would weep, many would hurt in the heart to see a man stripped naked, abused, put upon a cross of shame, and to recognize this today, that Jesus Christ, when he did that for us. Again, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you saw it today, again, it would be a very offensive thing today if we had a cross here and there was a man stretched upon it in agony, trying to breathe, trying to bring himself up to get oxygen into his lungs, and yet to understand that every whip that blew on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, every crown of thorns and every piercing of his skull, every plucking out of his beard, every abuse that he received, Jesus Christ took that on the cross for us. He took that on the cross for the person in the pub. He took it on the cross for the person in sexual sin. He took it on the cross for the person that is living a lie and deceitful and dishonest and abusing others and abusing themselves. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. Every one of us ought to look at the cross and understand that there's a God that loves us. Anybody that says today, I don't get it, then how could God love me? You know, I can say to that person, you know, look, pick up a Bible, read about the cross, read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and understand that when he died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. Young people that would have been walking by the cross on that day, maybe looked at that cross and would say to their mom and dad, what did that man do? Is he a wicked man? Why is he dying like that? No, he's not a wicked man. In fact, he's a righteous man. He's the Son of God. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There on the cross, no, it wasn't a bad man. It wasn't a guilty man. It was an innocent man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sin. And again, sadly, again today, yesterday, very few people went to church. Very few parents are picking up a Bible and reading it to their kids. Many people are taking God's name, the name of Jesus Christ, and abusing it and treating it like it's nothing. And yet that Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sin. He paid the price so that we could be forgiven. Why? Because he understands this today, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He understands this today, that those that have transgressed God's law will spend eternity separated from God. God does not desire that. That is not God's plan. That is not God's purpose for mankind. God has done everything he can to prevent man from going into eternity away from him. He took his precious son, his only son, Jesus Christ, and he gave him for us. Again, there's no salvation in anyone else. There's no religion today that can save anybody outside of Christ. The Bible says about Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not a way. He's not one of the ways. Jesus Christ is the only way. A lot of people today like to say, well, Ben, all religions are equal. All religions are the same. Well, listen, they're not. If I said today, you can go however you want to the United States, you can walk if you want, people would have to look at me and say, Ben, you're lying. There's no way to walk to the United States. Well, listen, there's no way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. It's only through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that man can be saved. Again, Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's, again, not a way. He is the only way. Any religion that does not teach Jesus Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins is a false religion. This book is the true book. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is the revelation that God has given to us. He's given us a book that speaks about his truth. He's given us a book that we can know about him. There's a lot of things that I can know about God today just by looking up, and that is God is creative, that God is a great designer, that God gave us humanity, he gave us laughter, he gave us joy, he gave us health, he gave us so many things. There's a lot I can know about God just from nature, but can I tell you this? There's nothing that we can know about God specifically without God giving us his revelation in a book. We've got to have a Bible. Listen, if you wonder about the Bible, why I believe it's the Word of God, let me just tell you about this book. It's written by 44 human authors by inspiration of the Spirit of God. There's 66 books, and it all agrees, but it's written over 1,500 years. You try that today. Try to write a book and say, you know, I'm going to have 43 other people participate in that. We're going to write it over 1,500 years. It's all going to agree. That's pretty miraculous. And a lot of people that say myths, legends, Chinese books, or stories, all they do is slander this book. They do not disprove this book. In fact, they take this book, the Bible, and they use it to find archaeological things because it's that accurate. It's accurate scientifically. It's accurate historically. It's accurate prophetically. This book in Psalm 22 says they pierced his hands and his feet. You might say, Ben, big deal. Speaking about the crucifixion. Well, yes, it is, but that was 1,000 years before the cross. That was 1,000 years before Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Bible said they pierced his hands and his feet. The Bible in that same passage says that they cast lots upon his vesture, meaning that they gambled for his clothing. All right? So the Bible, 1,000 years before it happened, had testimony as to what would take place. 600 years before Jesus Christ died, it says in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 53, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Again, anybody that could read and understand that would look at that and say to me, Ben, that's speaking about Christ. That's speaking about the crucifixion of Jesus. And I say, you're right about that, but that's 600 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died for us. Again, God has given us a book. It's an eternal book. But the Bible says about this book, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. Man is trying to rewrite this book. If you go down to the Scottish Parliament, you'll find out they're trying to rewrite the law about God. If you go to our educators, they're trying to rewrite the law about God. You go to society and media, and they're trying to rewrite the law about God. But praise God today, this book has never changed. This book will never change because it's the book of all books. It's the Bible. It's the very word of God. Every thing that God has said in this book can be taken as absolute truth because it is from God. Now praise God. You look around today and you see everything that God made. You don't think, well, God had difficulty in making that. He made it incredibly well. He designed it perfectly. Listen, God does not have trouble today preserving his word. The Bible says again about this book that he's going to preserve this book. He's going to keep this book. That every single word of God, praise God, is pure. Every single one. That's why when the Bible speaks about marriage, it speaks with authority. That's why when the Bible speaks about family and life in the womb, it speaks with authority. That's when the Bible speaks about laws that God has given, it speaks with authority. Let me just share one of the Ten Commandments that God has given. One of the ten is this, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Very interestingly today, when people curse, they do not say, oh, Hare Krishna, oh, Muhammad, oh, the Pope, but they take Jesus Christ, his name, and they use it. And somebody could say to me, Ben, why is it that when people curse, they use the name Jesus Christ? Well, the fact is today, Jesus Christ is God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, a lot of people again would say, well, Ben, I don't really mean anything by it. When I take God's name in vain, I don't mean anything by it. Well, that's what vain is. It's like taking the name Bob, or using the name Bob when you swear. It's just treating a Bob with contempt. Listen, when people take God's name and they use it in vain, they're showing the contempt in their heart for God. When people blaspheme God and mock God, they're showing their contempt for God. When people do not believe in God, they never thank God for their food, they never thank God for their family, they never thank God for all the good things that God has given. They're living a life that is contemptuous to Almighty God. Now praise God today, despite that, God cares for you. Despite that, God is interested in you. Despite that, God desires to help you. The Bible again says that precious verse, a verse probably I repeat more than any other verse as I preach on the streets of Edinburgh, and that is this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we are yet sinners. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter if you blaspheme God, it doesn't matter if you mock God, it doesn't matter if you live your life as if there is no God. I can tell you today, based on the authority of the Word of God, that God loves you, that God cares for you. That God desires to save you. I would encourage you, pick up a Bible, begin to read it. Begin to cry out to the God that you don't believe in and say, God, if you said, help me to know you. The Bible says that if you seek me, you shall find me if you search with all your heart. All right, there has to be a time where we begin to pursue God. I read with my family this morning in a family devotion a Bible passage that spoke about if there was a treasure in a field, a man would give everything that he possessed to buy the field and to get that treasure. I'll tell you this, there's a treasure in this book. It's available to everybody. You can download it. KJV Bible. It's a really easy thing to do. And to begin to read it, and to begin to study it, and to find that there is a treasure in this book that is a treasure that is priceless. You cannot take anything when you die. You can't take your money. You can't take your relationship. You can't take anything. But listen, I'll tell you, there's one thing that will go to heaven, and that is your soul if you're saved. You can save your soul, you can save the soul of your family, you can save the soul of your neighbor. If you understand this book, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he paid the price so that you could be forgiven, Oh, God desires that more than anything today. Again, if you question that and say, Glenn, I don't really get it. I don't really think that God loves me that much. I just remind you today that the Son of God died for you. He paid the price for your sin. He was crucified for you. In that story 2,000 years ago. And again, people say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, let me ask you this. Who's the most famous person in human history? The most famous person in human history, hands down, atheists even have to say this, the most famous person is Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birthday every year. A man that lived on this earth 2,000 years ago. He died, he rose again, his grave is empty. But this man's life was not now. This man's life was not current. It was 2,000 years ago. We celebrate his birthday every year. Our calendar is based on him. Listen, they're trying to change that. They're trying to change the way that we date things because they want to erase Christ out of history. And yet the fact is, this is 2023 A.D. That has to do with Jesus Christ. Ad hominem. It's after the life of Christ and what Christ did for us on the cross. And again, I would just say to somebody, Jesus Christ is the most famous person in human history. What's this book all about? This book is all about Jesus Christ. Very interesting, isn't it? Interesting to those that do not believe in God. Interesting to those that live their life as if there is no God. And yet this book is about the most famous person that ever lived. Why is he so famous? Because he's God. He's God in the flesh. Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says about him, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he was God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ was made like you and I. He entered into his creation in the womb of Mary so that he could live a sinless life, so that when he died on the cross, he did not die for his own sin, but that Jesus Christ died for our sin. Again, somebody could say to me, Ben, why is it important that Jesus Christ died for me? Well, he paid the price so that judicially God could forgive you. He made a way for God to say, I forgive you, Ben, because my son Jesus died in your place. He took the price of your sin upon him on the cross. Every whip that beat the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, every crown of thorns that pierced the brow of Jesus Christ, the beard that was plucked out of the face of Christ, the punches and the blows that Christ felt, why did he do that? He did that for us. He did that for us. Jesus Christ died on that cross for our sins. Again, praise God for his mercy. If there's ever a time in your life where God speaks your heart, don't ignore that. Don't put that off. If God speaks your heart about reading the Bible, going to church, taking an opportunity in your life to change direction and follow God, don't put God off. That is God's mercy reaching out to us. We do not deserve that. We don't deserve the grace of God. We don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve the love of God. There ought to be something in our heart that resonates with that. Begins to think about that and says, you know what? Why is it today that people hate God? Why are they still against a religion that teaches strong marriages are made between a man and a woman that don't live in sexual sin before they get married, but that children are to protect their bodies and to keep themselves pure and get to that marriage altar pure? Why are people so against that? That doesn't make sense. What kind of a wicked world are we living in that says don't play around in sexual sin and have your way? We're living in an adulterous and wicked generation. We ought to stand up for somebody that believes in biblical values and says marriage is between a man and a woman is for life until death do us part is a covenant relationship before God. We ought to get behind somebody like that and say, hey, good on you, that's great. We ought to get behind somebody that stands up for the sanctity of life, that encourages people to keep a baby in the womb and to protect that life. We ought to encourage somebody like that, and by the grace of God, you know, he loves us, but he doesn't love our sin. He died for our sin. Our sin separates us from him. Yes, absolutely, God loves us. Absolutely, God cares for us. But where are the people that will be rational and get behind the idea of the truth of God and what God says in his word? It doesn't make sense today that generations that turn their back on God and come out in public and say, we believe sin is okay and we're immoral and ungodly. We're going to teach your children and lead them down these paths of deep ungodliness. It makes no sense for rational people to pat them on the back and say, hey, that's great. Where are the people that will pick up the Bible? Where are the people that will begin to study the Word of God? Where are the people that will begin to look at this book and see what it says and understand that there's mercy for us, but that mercy is in Jesus Christ. That mercy is in the goodness of God, the love of God for us, but it is not God saying our sin is okay. It is God condemning our sin and yet saving the sinner. It is God standing in judgment against the ungodliness that is in our lives, but reaching out to us in His mercy and saying, yet I love you enough to forgive you. I care about you. I desire to see you get saved. Friend, has there ever been a time in your life when you've humbled your heart and you've said to God, God, I don't understand why you love me so much that you died on the cross for my sin. But I accept and I receive you as my Savior. Again, if you do not do that, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, very sadly, when you stand before God, you're going to be cast into eternity in a lake of fire, and God does not desire to do that. God's greatest desire today is to give you His gift of everlasting life. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every one of us are unrighteous. For us to go to heaven, we must be made righteous by God. The only way God can do that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. The punishment for sin is death. Man has to die because of their sin, and yet Jesus Christ died for us so that we don't have to die eternally. He paid the price so that we could be forgiven. Friends, sometimes people think, if I go to church, the ceiling's going to cave in, or lightning's going to strike, or something like that. Let me just encourage you, seek God. Seek God. There's no experience necessary for anybody that desires to find God. All you have to do is humble your heart and say, right, I'm just going to pause my life. My life's so busy. It's about sport. It's about work. It's about the pub. It's about other things. But look, I just encourage you, take a little time out of your schedule and say, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek God. Again, people laugh at that. If you take a stand like that, your friends are not going to pat you on the back and say, hey, that's great. You're not going to go to the pub. You're not going to use curse words. You're going to be moral. They're not going to say that's great. But let me tell you, why would you hang around people that want to see you drunk, wasting your money, getting cancer, abusing your family, being a profane and wicked person? Why do you want friends like that? You think that you want friends that will encourage you, do what's best for your marriage, do what's best for your kids, do what's best for your family. Hey, praise God, that's getting in the Bible, getting in this book of all books, finding out who God is, finding out the truth of the Word of God. Why don't people want us to do that? Because they want to stay in their sin. Do you want to stay with them? Is it worth going to hell to have somebody pat you on the back, laugh at you and say, hey, you can drink like the best of us? Pat you on the back, say, hey, that's great, man, you can smoke like the best of us. Hey, man, that's great, you can do drugs like the rest of us. Use profanity like the rest of us. Do you want to go to hell today because you care about people that want to pat you on the back and say that? Or would you break the trend and say, look, I'm going to get my life right with God, even if people make fun of me, even if they mock me, even if they curse me, I'm going to get that book out, I'm going to begin to learn about God. Now, praise God, it could be a wake-up call day for somebody to begin to stop, look, and listen and say, right, why am I seeking to try to please ungodly people whose lives are being destroyed by sin? I would hope today that there's good parents that could be preaching today, that they would think about their kids and start to think, right, why do I want them hanging with the crowd that is just on social media from morning to night, wasting their life, getting into all sorts of wickedness and drink and drugs and sensual wickedness, sexual sin and things like that? Why do I want my kids going down a path like that? I would hope there's some parents that would stop looking, listen, and say, right, but they see it in my life. And if I'm going to lead them, I've got to do something different that would pick up a Bible and begin to get into it and begin to understand what God says that can set them free from a life of sin. Friend, I'll tell you today, if you decide to go that path, you're going to be going against the crowd. It's not easy today. You look at the people that are walking out here. You try to walk against the crowd. It's very difficult. But listen, it is worth it because those that are going to heaven are not going the way of those that are going to hell. Those that are going to heaven are people that have picked up a Bible, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did as He died on the cross for their sins. And they are going to be going against the vast multitude of people in this world because the Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in there at. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Few there be that find it. There are very few people today that would take a pause in their life and begin to think about God. But praise God, it is happening. Praise God, it is happening. In our church, we have seen in the last 4 months We have seen three people come to church that never found God before. Two of them have never been to church before. One is a 50-year-old woman that trusted Christ, praised God as her Savior. Another is a 15-year-old young man whose family did not go to God, but he decided himself, I want to go to church. I want to find God. He started coming to church, praised God. He got saved. Another man whose life was messed up by the grace of God at 48 years of age has just recently trusted Christ. I praise God for that. God is still in the soul-saving business. God is still working in hearts even today. Listen, He might be working in your heart. He might begin to knock on the door of your heart. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." And it's just saying, God wants to have fellowship with us, but we've got to respond to God. We've got to just knock at our heart's door. We've got to pick up the Bible. We've got to get ourselves to the church house. We've got to begin to do business with God and say, "Right, God, if you want to speak to me, I want to do everything I can in my life to make that crystal clear relationship with you possible." It's possible today, friend. I pray that you find it. Father, I pray for the grace of God upon the Word of God that's been preached this morning. I pray, Lord God, for many that will get saved by the grace of God. It is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.